Ladies and gents, welcome to episode 49 of the Keto Matrix podcast. Man, I just realized that the next episode is going to be episode 50. I feel like it should be episode 500 because so much time has passed, but you know, life. So let's keep it rolling. It's a very, very rare occasion that I do a part one and a part two, but today I am releasing part two of the conversation that Rebecca and I had. It was recorded at a different time. We talked about some other things that are a little bit more relative to the time of recording. It's an absolutely awesome episode. And if you liked part one, part two, different speed, tons more info. Cannot wait. Let's jump into it.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Good afternoon, Rebecca. Okay, so look. Let's be honest. I feel like I want the listeners to know, one, how many times have I rescheduled on you?
it's hard to count. No, it hasn't been that bad. It was like two or three times.
I feel like you're extremely gracious. Just kept going back and forth. Yeah, so the last episode, which I just want to like unpack all this for the listeners, because I don't know that if they really realize that. And honestly, I don't even know how much I've shared with you, but let's jump into it. So I'm moving in 2 weeks, like 14 days from, I think it was 14 days from Wednesday, but I want to say it's 14 days from Friday. Either way, doesn't really matter. My clock is ticking for me out, which is great. Part of all the life change stuff I have going on. So I'm moving. But with that said, I canceled my internet and business phone that was here, as well as I think I had TV channels. It wasn't vast, but it was part of the package. Either way, long story short, I canceled all that stuff. And so I have been using my mobile hotspot for all of my recordings. Why that's good, why that's bad. It's great because I literally can queue up pretty much anywhere and have internet. It's bad because, like, the last episode that I released, the editing wasn't amazing because my signal was not strong enough to take like the digital editing aspect of things and keep it high level. And so that kind of created some issues with the sound recording quality, et cetera. But even more so here at my house, like, I've been battling different things with electricity and the AC, and all of this stuff has stemmed from the brand new subdivision they're building across the street from me. So my power has been going out at random times. Now, some would say, well, it doesn't really matter. You don't need electricity for a laptop and a cell phone. No, I don't. But if you've ever run your mobile hotspot, it drains a ton of battery. And so with no power, I can't keep it recorded. And with no power, my signal is not nearly as strong, which makes it even worse and more difficult to record, especially since I use an older MacBook. And when it doesn't have power, it drains pretty quickly. I know some of you listeners are like, just change the battery. Yeah, I haven't done that. I'm usually plugged in, and it's one of those big, it was like a, I want to say it's like a 2012, 2013 model, like the old Aluma bodies, and it's a 15 inch that still has the CD. There you go. It's the last computer that MacBook made that still had the CD drive. Don't ask me why I was so pressed for that, because I haven't put a CD in that thing in, I don't know, years. But I say all that to say, I'm not taking it out and putting it on my lap. The thing is too big for that. Like, it weighs, it's the heaviest thing in my laptop bag. So it's heavy. But with that said, I move on and move forward. Awesome to finally reconnect. I apologize. I've had to cancel and change and adjust so many times. I really, really, really was like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. So thank you for your grace with that. I really do appreciate it. How have you been? How are you? How is Rebecca?
I am doing awesome, honestly. Everything's going really well. I've been working with lots of clients, having lots of success with them, which is so encouraging. I'm excited every day just to, like, oh, I'm talking with so-and-so today, and it's really exciting. I've been messing around with reintroducing a few items just for funsies, you know, just funsies to mix things up.
So let's recap for the listeners that are not going to listen to episode one before they listen to part two, which, guys, I strongly suggest stop playing this and start back at the previous episode. But let's kind of rehash a little bit. When you say reintroduce, what were you eating typically? Like prior to these reintroductions, what were you eating?
So typically, I'm eating a carnivore diet with no spices, not a trace of vegetables, no spices. So all meat. The only meat that I don't eat is pork, chicken, and smoked or cured meats.
Okay.
I didn't even
get into this. So, okay, cool. So you're only seasoning your meat with salt.
Yes.
Okay. And then with seasoning with just salt, which can I just say for a second, like that sounds so boring, but before
it sounds move on, boring.
It does. But so let's reverse a little bit. Why no chicken? Why no pork? Why no smoked and cured meats? I know why no cured meats. I mean, come on. But yeah, why no smoking, which technically is a type of curation process, but all of those things, right. Can you throw that out there?
Yeah. So pork, because I actually tested positive to be allergic to pork, but it's interesting how allergies work. If you eat something while your gut is in a permeable state, then you can develop an allergy to it. So with that in mind, allergies don't always last a lifetime. And so I have healed my gut substantially. So I actually do tolerate pork now. I just don't eat it often because I don't crave it. And I don't eat bacon because I do not have smoked or cured meats. And that is because they do affect the gut and they tend to cause histamine reactions.
Okay, so how and why? Because for those of you that listen, you guys know I smoke pretty much everything. I put cheese on my smoker. And true story, if I pick up hot wings, like lemon pepper wings from Wingstop or hot wings from wherever, I bring them back and I wait for them to get cold and I reheat them on the smoker because it's amazing. So let's talk a little bit about that aspect of the smoking process and what your research has found, and we could talk a little bit about mine and then go from there, because this is so intriguing. I have other things I want us to talk about, but let's talk that first.
I love it. I would love to hear your input because I would like to eat more smoked things. It's a reaction that is similar to histamines it happens in me, especially with cured things. Obviously that plays into the gut bacteria, even if it's nitrate free, but they use the celery powder, it still does the same thing in your gut that nitrates do. So it alters your microbiome. And I don't think that people need to be like paranoid and never, ever touch it. But if you've got some bad gut things going on, then it's way better safe than sorry. As far as smoked things, I think it depends on what it's smoked with. So I've tried naturally smoked things, like really good quality, like US wellness meats, and I don't have a reaction to it. But if I have something it's usually when it says it's hickory smoked, I have a reaction to it, and it's a histamine thing. And I don't know specifically why, and you're smiling right now, so I'm hoping you can tell me maybe why.
Cool, but before I do that, let's go back a little bit and talk about the things you were reintroducing and what your experiences were in reintroducing those things.
Okay, so I reintroduced some low oxalate spices.
What's an oxalate?
An oxalate is a tiny crystal that basically it affects everyone. It's a poison, and all of us tolerate it to a different degree.
Awesome.
They are contained in lots of vegetables and all this stuff.
Okay.
So,
cool.
And kidney stones. Many kidney stones are made up of oxalates. So low oxalate spices, like at the bottom of the list. I made some homemade taco seasoning, seasoned my ground beef. I used some garlic, Redmond real salt, onion, Redmond real salt, and then cayenne, because I miss spicy food. I really love it. And cayenne is a little bit higher, but you don't need much of it. So
no, you don't.
But I did. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say while I was thinking about it. you may want to try Keto Rubs Fire Salt, and it's spelled F-Y-R-E. It's amazing. It's nice and spicy, and I want to say they use capsaicin powder or capsaicin peppers.
Thank you. That's, I'm gonna look at that.
Very, very low reactions, if any. I haven't had any clients have any issues with it, even in removing and having low oxalates and making sure that the seasoning is that. And then the other thing I want to throw out there is for anyone that's trying to reintroduce seasonings without having to go through the diligence of, I don't know, picking each individual one, there is a company called Paleo Powder. They make several different formulas. My go-to, if I'm being honest, is Paleo Pink Powder. The base is pink salt, as you may have imagined, but they also make different sensitivity offerings that are all Paleolithic. And Paleo, for those of you that are unaware, it's just minimally processed, where no processing, and things that organically and anciently have existed to the best of my ability. That is me not overcomplicating what Paleolithic is. Oh, we could go even further into that, like the removal of legumes and stuff like that, but let's just keep it simplistic. So check out Paleo Powder for their different options, because they're kind of like a Mrs. Dash, which with each thing they make, meaning their blends, but they have those blends together with those sensitivities and allergens in mind. So I would say check that out, and you can get it at Walmart. So I mean, like, it's everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I wish I had known about this. That's so awesome.
Yeah, no worries.
I seasoned my ground beef with that, and then I also got cilantro, which has 0.01 milligrams of oxalates per serving, which is an entire cup. And I love cilantro. I used to eat that stuff like crazy. I know some people love to eat it, but I love it. So that's what I did. And then I also used some romaine leaves, as a taco shell, just to hold it all together.
Oh, so come on, somebody. Why did you do that, Rebecca? Romaine leaves.
I don't, just wait till I finish those. So I made the ground beef. It was delicious. And I, made my tacos. It was all pretty. Took a picture for Instagram. And then I started eating it, and I literally just dumped the beef onto the plate and threw out the leaves. I was like, okay, I'm not a rabbit, because I felt like a rabbit just eating the romaine leaves.
I'm like, come on. Wait. Before you continue, and my listeners already know, I am notorious for interruptions. But have you not heard? No, you don't eat it anyway. Ooh, now I'm really curious. I'm sitting here. I was about to tell you. Have you not heard of Folio's cheese wraps? And then I realized, you don't eat cheese either. So, in not eating cheese, I don't know which would have been worse as far as the reaction. For me personally, even though I'm carnivorous, I do eat cheese. Like, I still have dairy involved. And so I do my tacos with Folio's. But not eating cheese obviously creates a little bit of a challenge for that. But I still would say, go with cheese before lettuce wraps. Because, no, I'm not a rabbit. And neither are you. And who eats salad? Come on, people. Make better decisions. They are. Okay, so why didn't you... Did you think about that?
I think about it. That's the problem, is I think about dairy all the time, but if I start eating dairy, I don't stop.
Got it.
I know it's addictive, and I used it against myself in the beginning because I knew I would be able to eat too much of it easily so I could gain weight. And I don't go those places,
Okay.
So that's why I was like, okay, well, I'll have some fiber and water. And the result was, I didn't like eating the romaine. I liked the garnish of the cilantro. I loved the flavor, but I had to use a bathroom like 3 times as much the next day. And it was really annoying. So I'm not a fan. It's like, once you go without fiber,
have to go.
Yeah,
I could not resist that.
That was so perfect. It's like you feel like you're when I don't eat fiber, I feel like I'm functioning the way I was created to function. When I eat fiber, it's like, oh my gosh, I have to run to the toilet, and my stomach is churning, and it's just too much is going on in there, and I'm not a fan.
Cool.
So
Can we talk about that a little bit? Because I have people that will ask me all the time, Neo, you've got to cheat, right, bro? Like, what do you eat when you cheat? And, you know, that first off, like, I started, you know, the first couple years of keto, and I would have epic cheat days. I've said that on episodes before, so feel free to tune into those. But I used to have epic cheat days. And, like, I kind of, like, hung my hat on that. Like, yeah, bro, like, I'll be super strict, but I'll have a cheat day for the masses. And, and then I went carnivore, and I will honestly tell you, like, the biggest obstacle or challenge for any of my keto clients from going keto, strict keto, to carnivorous eating and then having a cheat day or a flare up or whatever comes from the reintroduction of things and the fiber specifically, and how much it really impacts the whole everything, how you feel, how you function. So if I ever cheat carnivorously, like I decide, oh my goodness, I want ice cream, which, by the way, I have a weakness for ice cream, and if I'm going to cheat, it's typically with vanilla Häagen-Dazs, and it's the little tiny miniature ones.
Stop. Those are too sweet.
No, listen, they are super sweet, but the whole container is 17 grams of carbs. So
I mean, I don't know, man. I should give you my ice cream recipe. It's amazing.
Here's the thing.
I was thinking of making it.
I am not going to take the time or effort out to make ice cream for a lot of reasons. One,
all right,
I have to make more than that little tiny cup, right? I don't need to eat more than that little tiny cup. And I'm talking like super seldom. So like I have to have a strong hankering. And then when I unleash the beast on the ice cream in the little tiny cup, that's 17 grams of carbs. I have no care in the world, because by the time I get to the bottom of it and it's finished, it was like zero impact. There's no fiber. The 17 grams of carbs with the little activity after whatever time, like it's zero impact. My numbers don't change. My glucose doesn't change. The way in which my body functions doesn't change. I have no gastrointestinal upset issues, et cetera. So for those of you that are like, oh, well, I like, I don't know, Halo Top or any of these alternatives that are like super low whatever and use erythritol and all that garbage, save yourself the headaches, man. Eat some Häagen-Dazs. There's no carrageenan or some of the other garbage that you can find in ice creams, and they make them in the miniature cups. I will also say Jenny's Splendid. Jenny's is out of Ohio. They also, they make the miniature cups too, but the flavors aren't the same. Like I think the darkest chocolate is one. You have to look, but they make miniature cups too, and they're also very clean, no carrageenan or other chemicals or garbage in the ice cream. So those are the options.
That's a good combination. Just comparing, you know, just comparing like all the fake ingredients in these keto ice creams to the Häagen-Dazs that you're talking about, it's like you have a really, really good point. I mean, and your blood sugar, the truth is your blood sugar spikes from the Halo Top and the Enlightened the same way, and you're still acting on your dopamine. So like all these ketogenic sweets and stuff, it's made to like please you the same way that sugar does.
Yeah.
So if you have an addiction problem, then you're gonna want to cut both out.
And so, if you have an addiction problem, you don't even realize, like I used to buy Halo Top. I don't think it's on my Instagram anymore, but there was a picture on my Instagram of me doing a road trip, and I had stopped at a Publix and I grabbed two Halo Tops. I think it was one of those times they were like two for whatever. And
oh my gosh. If I had ice cream while I was driving, game over.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you, it was a trip to Florida or a trip back from Florida. I can't remember which direction I was going. And I killed two pints because, I mean, it's only 600 calories when it's both of them. And it was great, and I loved it. If I had a spoonful of Halo Top right now with erythritol in it, I'd be in the bathroom for 2 hours, guaranteed. It's horrible. I've cut erythritol out for a really long time now. But my point is, like, I find myself from the addictive personality that I have with certain things way easier to control and feel completely satisfied when I eat something that absolutely is natural, like Häagen-Dazs. In comparison to cracking open a Halo Top, getting to the bottom of it and just looking for the next one. So, I say all that to say for those of you that are like, oh my goodness, I really want to be better about whatever, binge eating or temptations or I don't know, any of those things. you know, start by removing all the garbage out, because that stuff is, I don't want to sit here and get on like hyper palatability and all that stuff, but there is definitely a greater impact for a longer period of time than most people will recognize. Which brings me back full circle. You had how much of the romaine lettuce, and if you had to guesstimate with all of the seasoning you actually consumed in that sitting, let's do it from a tablespoon perspective. How many tablespoons total between the seasoning, the cilantro, and the romaine leaves do you think you consumed in that sitting?
Including? Okay. I mean, everything without the cilantro would not even be a full tablespoon. It would be like 2 teaspoons or 1 teaspoon.
Okay. And then with the cilantro?
Because I had a bite of the lettuce, but the cilantro, I kind of went ham because I tasted it and I was like, oh my gosh, I missed this stuff. So I had a handful. A large handful, and that's why I was on the toilet like all day the next.
What's a large handful though? I mean, if you really think about probably 3 tablespoons still.
Yeah,
I mean, like, because yeah, I was gonna say, because cilantro is pretty fluffy, so you know, if you were to condense it down and squeeze it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say 4 tablespoons with everything.
Yeah.
Whole the bathroom all day the next day, huh?
Yeah, and I did not feel optimal. I felt foggy. I just didn't have the same energy that I have. I really love carnivore because I feel zippy. I don't know another word for it right now, but that's how I feel. Like, I just feel so efficient and productive. I can think straight, and I don't feel, you know, the aches and pains are gone, and just there was just an inkling of everything the next morning, an inkling of fogginess, an inkling of achiness, and you know, it's black and white, it's very clear, and it wasn't worth it.
Cool.
And so I'm glad that I tried, and it's, you know, in the back of my head, I work with clients sometimes in person, so I'll travel, and if people need that super hands-on work, I'm happy to make recipes with them, and I want to feel like I can taste something or enjoy something with a client without, like, you know, totally, I don't want to be afraid. So I like to test things every now and then, and I'm not afraid, and I have my preferences, and I'm not afraid to tell people what my preferences are, but you know, it's enjoyable to visit my niece and I did have dairy when I visited my niece, and I made some cinnamon pork rinds and, you know, kid carnivore things. And yeah, I'm going to sit down and enjoy it with her. And I fasted the next day. I was on an airplane, so no big deal. But it's the little things that I don't want to miss out on. So.
Yeah, and I feel like that in itself, we could probably turn into something as far as like its own separate conversation. Because I know that, like, even recently I had a client who, for her own birthday, did not consume anything crazy. Had a slice of my specialty recipe'd keto cheesecake, which is phenomenal. Shout out to Keto Snaps that, unfortunately, based on Corona and them being based out of Brooklyn, New York, had to close their doors, whether that be temporarily or permanently, I don't know. But you can check out the Keto Snaps episode. They are awesome people. But having said all of that, this year was like super strict, did really well, was super proud of her. But then her daughter had a graduation, and she said to me, oh, you know, Neo, I ate some things I wasn't supposed to eat because I didn't want my daughter to feel like she had to eat the way I ate or feel this pressure with, you know, diet and all of these different things. And the question I posed was, well, why? I mean, you're not, like, why are you eating this way? And as she unpacked it, and she was like, well, I feel like this, and I feel like that, and it's better for me and my health, and these are things. And I was like, well, why aren't you having that conversation with your daughter? Like, the conversation is being had. So for all you parents, the conversation is being had. Like, your children are going to school or interacting with their friends or other people or the media or the movies or the news or the whatever, and they're making judgments on nutrition and food and how they look and how they feel and all of these things. And so the conversation is being had. So as a parent, let that conversation be dictated by you and not by everything else that's going on, and use it as a platform, no different than the sex talk, to talk about food. Because let's be honest, if we're really, really super honest, our outward thought process and our inward reflection for everyone is usually off, and it seeps into everything else. So you may be gung-ho about, oh my goodness, I gotta have the sex talk. You may find out your best bet in keeping and maintaining the purity of your child is by having the other thing, the other talk on other things that bleed into that, like being able to feel optimal, not have brain fog, not have depression, not feel like they have the highs and lows that come with all of the disadvantages of eating a carbohydrate-based standard American diet. So now that I've rambled on and on about that, how has the rest of life been for you? How is, I dare to even speak of this, but how have you been with the craziness that is Black Lives Matter, defunding police, the political pandemonium, COVID, like all of the rest of this stuff, man? I mean, it's been a while since we talked last. How are you dealing with that?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, COVID, it didn't even faze me. And I had friends who were getting mad at me because I wasn't worried. Like, I actually had, you need to be more worried. And I kept telling her, look, worrying actually never helps anything. So no. And also, I'm taking all the precautions like everyone else. I don't have a choice anyways. But she was just, you know, I appreciated it because she was concerned about me. She's like, oh, you have a history of autoimmune. And it's like, actually, one, my immune system is fighting harder than the average person
ever has. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's the opposite. And then also, it's just, I think it's entirely, almost, very, very largely political. It was a bad flu, people. And, yeah, so, and then I'm used to being in isolation because of my C. diff infection and being held in hospitals. I was held in isolation. So I really learned a lot of coping mechanisms through that experience. And I've just been, you know, it's no big deal. As far as the, you know, the loss of George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter, I was shook by it and disturbed, but not surprised.
Okay.
And my view on it is that, yes, it is absolutely a extremely tragic and horrible thing, and I believe that racism is still so much prevalent and alive in our country, and it's not just Black people, like, it's Mexican people too. It's, you know, it's people of all different races, and it's been going on for a long time. But what I saw that many did not see is that it is very political, and it just blows my mind that people fall for all of this without second guessing anything, just like the nutrition guidelines, you know, eat cereal for breakfast, 0 grams of protein. It's great for you.
Do it.
I mean, the virus and the Black Lives Matter, there is a greater wicked behind the scenes that's been going on for a long time. And if you crack your Bible open and read Revelations, it's happening. It's happening in our world. And, you know, I just saw this thing about Mexico. They're requiring a vaccination now, and they can actually, like, put you in jail if you refuse it.
Wait, a vaccination for Corona?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I just saw that this morning, and they have this whole thing where you can fight against it. And anyways.
And this is Mexico, right?
Mexico okay. Or New Mexico. And
wait. There's a huge difference now. Come on. Mexico or New Mexico. Not that I'm going to make you turn into the news channel, but it was one of those two. It was either something domestically or something in Mexico.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go with Mexico most likely, only because I feel like I would have heard it if it were New Mexico. And yeah, I don't know. But either way, it's ridiculous either way. So let's move past that. Why would people do that? That's crazy.
In my opinion, I think that we're, like I mentioned, I'm a believer. I've read Revelations many times, and it's happening. The one world order, we're well on our way to it. The mark of the beast.
For those of you that don't know Revelations or aren't I don't want to say religious, because you don't need to be religious to read the Bible, but if you're in a dark place, maybe don't hang out in Revelations for too long. Maybe start with a Matthew. Start with one of the Gospels, you know, like a Matthew, Mark, or something like that.
Totally. I mean, Revelations, it's like, okay, I'm going to read it to be aware, but I don't go back to it. I really don't.
That's like keeping CNN on. Don't do that. There's nothing positive happening. I just, for anyone that's like, maybe you're a new believer, or maybe you've never picked up the Bible, maybe you're an atheist and you're like, oh, I'm going to check it out. Yeah, don't hang out there for too long if you're not in a good, strong mental state. You know, it's everything you've said. I'm like, yeah, that's true. I look at this whole thing like, you know, prior law enforcement, I'm black. It doesn't matter what, like, my origin is. I'm dark in color. So when you look at me, I'm black. I am, and everyone else of color, whether that be from the Middle East, whether that be from Asia, whether it be from the island someplace, like, it doesn't matter. Whether it's even from, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a place like the Dominican Republic or Guyana or any of these places where you can see literally like two large cultures, part of one culture, that have very different skin complexions. At the end of the day, you're still black. I think Malcolm X had said it once in a speech. I don't know I think it was for the radio, but he was talking about like African Americans and that not being those that live in the United States of America, but really from all of the Americas, whether that's Central America, Latin America, South America, North America, it is, and the prevalence is that we all technically started from Africa and are in these different Americas, but of color, everyone is still an African American. Either way, I say all of that to say, it's all based on ignorance, man. Like, I don't care what it is, wearing a mask for Corona, viewing someone of any type of nationality and formulating opinion is all based on ignorance. And I will say this until I turn blue in the face, whether we're talking nutrition, whether we're talking horsepower, whether we're talking Dodge or Ford or Chevy, it's all about ignorance, right? Like, people that take these whole I am this stand on whatever, there's a place of ignorance, man. Like, I venture to say that most true racist people, we all know that they're racist because of ignorance, but I honestly, for the love of life, do not think that people come out in this world ignorant. And then someone's going to argue that, yeah, they do. There's no baby in any hospital anywhere that looks at anything and has hate in their heart. Like, the whole amazing thing about babies and infants is the innocence, right? So they learn what they're then taught. They don't know and are ignorant to what they aren't taught. And so if we as individuals and as a population refuse to take that extra step to learn more than what we're told, we will forever be ignorant about things. Good things, bad things. It could be your favorite restaurant that you've never dined at because you were too ignorant to know it existed and to try it. It could, like, the simplest things. And so I say all that to say, never create an absolute in your mind. I'm learning more and more about that myself with everything. But if you're in a position where you always ask questions, if you always ask questions, you allow yourself to be a part of the no, a part of the woke, a part of the helpful, a part of the change that we all are looking for. I don't want anyone to look at themselves and feel privileged, good or bad. And I don't want anyone to look at themselves and feel less than, good or bad. And, you know, the easiest way, I think the most effective way to actually create real change without sitting here talking about go vote or go protest or sign this petition or post this black box on Tuesday, like any of those things, is to simply look at yourself and ask the questions that you haven't asked or that haven't been asked of you and find those answers. Because the more you look, the more you search, the more you stay on the inquisitive side of things, I don't know, you have no choice but to get rid of ignorance because you're learning. And yeah. I don't know. I think that's where it all lies.
That's so good. That applies to everything in life, too. 100% I'm on board with everything you just said. And I think that, you know, it's sad how the majority, I mean, most people have great intentions, but if you don't think for yourself, then you very, very well may likely be manipulated by the very power that you're trying to oppose.
That's why there's so Democrats that are Democrats and should be Republicans. And I know some people will tell me, well, you've got to look at what Republicans have done in the last X amount of years. And you got to look at what Democrats have done X amount of years. And guys, I'll never turn this into a political podcast, but again, educate yourselves on the history of the parties and where they started and how they originated and who they're putting up and out there.
Clinton has gotten away with, I mean, she's gotten away with so much because of all of this distraction. And this shouldn't be a political podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, we could totally go down that rabbit hole. but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just think at the end of the day, like, people have got to ask more questions, man. I mean, even simple things. I was at a coffee shop here a little while ago. I spent a lot of time at coffee shops, and I'm talking to a gentleman about masks. This gentleman happens to fly for American Airlines, and, you know, I just having normal conversations like how a flight's been, you know, are they still empty? Are they full? How's traveling? How has work been for you? All that good stuff. And, you know, he's like, man, you know, we're at this point now where, yeah, I hate it because we have to wear a mask and we don't have full flights yet. He anticipates that between this month and next month, like, flights will go back to being full. But he said, you know, even without doing service, it's tough to breathe and keep this mask on the whole time. And he brought up some really interesting things. And I wasn't aware of him at all. Totally ignorant to this. He said, you know, there's a lot of healthy people that have become impacted and affected by breathing in all this carbon dioxide that we typically exhale because they go work an 8-hour shift or a 10-hour shift, like grocery store workers that may be young, healthy, and are submitting themselves to inhaling way more carbon dioxide than ever because they can't properly express the carbon dioxide out of their bodies because this mask is here in front of their face. So I started thinking about that and I was like, and that brings me to the next question, which is, who in the world mandated that everyone wear masks and why? Because if you really look at the research, not that I want to turn this into a COVID podcast, but there hasn't been a whole lot of reasoning behind reducing the ability to catch COVID via the mask. So why do we do it? And his response was, well, you know, in Asia and some of these places, like, they have. But we also talked about, like, the pollution in those countries, which is why masks for them are usually readily available and people wear them anyway. So it's a little bit different. We don't have that aspect an issue. And I think we're all looking at other people and saying, well, hey, they're doing that, so let's do it. And I mean, that's the world we're in, right? Like, I follow XYZ on Instagram and they bench 315 and they look like this. So if I get to the point where I can bench 315, I'll look like that. Is that really what you think? You think that works? So it's funny. It's not funny. It's sad. But again, if we could just ask the questions and find the information, we would all be in a better position. So I don't know. I'm glad that you're doing well. I have been, I don't know, kind of thrown into this whole thing, right? Like, do I speak? Do I not speak? I'm blessed to have this platform to be able to share thoughts and ideas and social media and all this stuff. So I've been trying to kind of have the conversations and, I'm willing and open to having the talk with anyone. And I've had some really good conversations that have come out from it all. But I don't know. All I can say is I hope that everyone takes the time to ask those questions, looks inwardly before they ever look outwardly, and then makes the changes that they identify should be made courageously and free from fear.
Yeah, totally.
So my next question, so we can get off of this COVID topic, is what is next for Rebecca Farmer? Like, what are you doing? How can we help support you do those things? And what have you found in some of the clients that you've brought on now new in dealing with the things that they've been locked at home? I know for me, clients' mental has been outrageous. I have converted more people to carnivore since March and COVID than ever before because people truly are sitting still and recognizing just how mentally weak they are for no other reason than they don't have the distractions of the things that typically distract them. And that's been a realization for a lot of people. So how is, like, how have you found that with your client base and those things?
Yeah, very similar. So it started, seemed to really grow with the whole COVID situation. It's so ironic because a lot of people will say, well, if I could just cook from home, then I would be able to lose weight and eat healthy. And it's like, everyone's stuck at home and everyone's gaining weight. Everyone's binging. And the mental, I love when ugly things happen and we can take the good out of it. That's what life is about, you know? And I think that a lot of good still has come from the virus situation for those who made it into a good thing. You know, for me, it was a healthy challenge to, like, I'm a gym rat. I love the gym. And I was challenged to do at-home workouts. And I'm glad, because I used to be like, oh, I don't know if I want to travel because I want to go to the gym. And, you know, just to not have that open and restructure my day and stuff, like, it's healthy to be challenged. And for a lot of people, my heart goes out to them who already struggle with anxiety and depression and loneliness and just stress. Even just the world around us going crazy, you know, looking at the news, that can trigger a panic attack. And it's understandable, especially if you fall for everything that they tell you on the news.
So yeah, no kidding.
I have had a lot more people come to me with the mental aspect of things, where I think if they were to come to me before, they probably would have said, well, the root of my problems is my gut, or the root of the problems is, you know, I just want to lose weight. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I think that it's made people more vulnerable and more comfortable to admit that anxiety and stress and all of these things that we need to learn how to cope with greatly affect our health. Stress affects your gut, you know, and yes, they are intimately connected. So you don't always, yes, you can address these things at the gut with the carnivore diet, with lifestyle changes, 100%, but you can't ignore the mental aspects of it. So, you know, there have been a couple of clients who finally had their breakthrough. And when I say breakthrough, I mean physical healing. Only when they were able to confront their stress. And I mean, it's just like getting into ketosis. If your body is too stressed out, you're not going to get into ketosis. So I have had the opportunity to work with people a lot more and use my life coaching. You know, I'm a health and life coach, and to be able to use that more has been so awesome. So that's totally on board with what's been going on with you. Same thing here. And then also just breaking through with more clients and just huge ways. You know, I have a client who had really bad psoriasis almost her entire life, a long time, and her skin is just smooth as all get out now. And she's much less sensitive, and she's become so much more aware of her eating habits and behaviors around food. And
that's awesome.
A lot of these things that sound frou-frou or like, yeah, but that's not really the big picture. It's like, honestly, it'll change your life. If you restructure your behavior with anything, it will change the outcome. And everyone needs to put in that work. Even if you don't have health problems, then you probably have good behavior. It's for a reason. So
yes, absolutely. I just met someone today, and he was, again, coffee shop. If you guys have no idea how I am out in public, I'm pretty much the same way as I am on the podcast. I talk to everyone about all the different topics all the time. So I'm at the coffee shop, and the owner is talking to a patron, and he brought up keto. I don't know if she brought it up or he brought it up, but either way, they started talking about keto, and the owner looked at me, and I looked away, like, I looked far, far away, like, please don't direct this conversation to me, please, please, please. And so she's like, have you had the conversation with Neo about keto? And I was like, no, don't. And I said that out loud, and he was like, wow, you don't like talking about keto? Do you think it's crazy? You think I'm going to die because I'm keto? And I was like, no, I just usually don't like to have these conversations with random people in public, because most people that start keto, they start it for all the wrong reasons, and they don't recognize like how impactful it really is and all these other things. And so, you know, I gave him the brief snippets, you know, I've dropped over 150 pounds and this is how and blah, blah, blah. And I never started it for losing weight. And I give him the synopsis, and he looks and he turns to me and he says, you know, I only lost 3 pounds keto. And he lost, I can't remember how much he said. He lost quite a bit of weight non-keto. I think it was like 30 plus pounds or something like that. And he was like, you know, but I've never felt better as far as my brain clarity, this, that, and the other thing. And I say all that to say, I will forever say that keto is great if you want to lose weight. That's cool. But the benefits of everything else, from mental health to breakthroughs and understanding internally who you are and how food has controlled you or what other things control you, is far greater. And that's the thing. If we go back into it, like he said, you just got to ask yourself why are you wanting to do this and why you're looking at it. Because if you can't say why, you won't get there. And again, full circle, we're back at questions and ignorance. And the more questions you can ask, I firmly believe, you know, the people like myself included, hit with staying at home and hearing the loud noise of the silence in quarantine, had to ask themselves questions like, why is this uncomfortable? Why do I feel this way? Why am I gaining weight? Why do I keep feeling like I need to eat another, enter your, you know, addicted food item there? And, you know, for those that are in the space asking the questions and then working through themselves to find the answers, or with their life coach or health coach or a therapist or best friend or whatever, you'll come out of this ahead, like way ahead. It'll be like the chapter post Revelations where he comes back. Exactly. So, yeah, I think that's huge. Hats off for continuing to extend yourself and put yourself out there. I definitely can say for me, I have had to spend more time internally as I've worked with my clients so that I stay full, because, you know, you can't help anyone else until you help yourself. So hats off and kudos. And then the other thing I'd say is, what do you think everyone could do to help other people position themselves to ask more questions internally? I know that's loaded.
I think the first thing that comes to mind is just continue to be vulnerable, you know, because when people talk about the reality of situations and what's going on behind the scenes, it makes everyone else more comfortable with also assessing what's going on behind the scenes in their own lives. And the deeper you dig, I mean, that's what it's all about, is just being real and being raw. And the more that you dig and you find answers, the more you want to ask questions. And the more questions we ask, the better we can live our lives.
I was always told when I was growing up that you should never lie. Like, I was just, that was the thing. And I always looked at it from a position of me having knowledge and sharing it. And if I shared the knowledge to the best of my ability, sharing the knowledge, then cool, that was the truth. If I didn't share the knowledge or the accuracy behind what I knew, then that was a lie. That's what I always thought. That's how I always viewed it. Like, that was the paradigm of the traffic, right? It's only until now, like later in life, as I approach 40, that I realized lying is not about just the external dialogue you have with other people. Lying is about your viewpoint, what you see, and what you choose not to look at.
Yes.
So for us internally, and this sounds so hippy-dippy, man, but I'm just telling you this. This is me expressing this outwardly. You know, I shared recently about my anniversary on Instagram. I think I did it through a story. I should have done a post, but I didn't. And I was just talking about, you know, coming back from being at this place where I considered taking my life and how that kind of changed and was altered. Like, the biggest thing has been not lying to myself, like not allowing my mental thoughts to dictate and determine what truth really is. And I don't think most of us realize how much we lie to ourselves. I don't care if it's I need this ice cream, I need this donut, or I feel good, or I feel bad, or I feel successful, or I feel accomplished, or I don't know, whatever those things are. I don't think that enough of us take the time to be vulnerable, even with ourselves, to say, what's really the thing that's bothering me? Like, what's the thing that, it's not the red light that I just got stopped at and that I'm now going to be late for 5 minutes. What is the thing that just caused you to feel like, holy crap, I'm going to be late again. I have no control over my life. Every time I try to get someplace, I don't get there on time, whatever. I don't know what the thing is, but like, ask the thing, find out, like, do that. Because I think I 100% agree. We live in this world where things like Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok, all these things are made and created for us to put out this X word or X, this external persona and character that may very well not be a very clear representation or accurate representation of who we are, yet it's what we start to buy into. You know, our post. I'm this person. You're not that person. Give yourself a break. That's not you, even though that's the person you keep posting, or the conversations that people get involved in, or the comments, or even the people. Oh my goodness, I'm about to save somebody a ton right now. If you have people on your Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, or whatever from years and years and years ago, if you are not the same person that started following those people the years ago, maybe you should go in there and unfollow. Because what you'll find is that the person that you progressed past back then is haunting you now because you allow the access of seeing and being connected to those things that no longer identify with who you are. So there you go. I just saved you some money on your next therapy appointment. Do that. Remove those things that are no longer a clear representation of either who you want to be, who you are now, or who you've been. If you're following things that don't align with those things, do yourself a favor and unfollow. And get out of those circles, stop talking to those people, stop shopping in those places or doing those things, whatever. Like, whatever that is. That was it.
Totally.
That's the podcast right there. I'm just going to wrap it up on that one.
That's so good. I'm going to bank off of that. I mean, as far as people, 100%, it will haunt you. But even what you just said, it made me think about when I had to gain a bunch of weight, and I desperately, it seemed like I couldn't gain weight to save my life. I started carnivore, and I knew it was the answer. And I was like, God's going to deliver me. I knew it was happening. And so I threw out 85, 90% of my clothes because they were all teeny tiny. I mean, junior section, 00. And it's like, yeah, I had a long way to go and weight gain takes time, but I threw them out that day. And I wear the same stretchy shorts every single day because I can grow in them. And it was just the act of throwing that away. And, you know, I'm never going back there. I'm going to heal. And I think things like that are more powerful than what people would realize, because there's so many things that sit in the back of your head. Just like you said, you know, you're not getting upset at the red light. It's something else. And we really need to take more time to go deeper. And I actually have been also needing more time to tend to myself.
Yep.
And I've been dedicating like an extra hour in the evening to reading and praying. And since I started doing that, I started having some really intense nightmares, even just things from the past that it's like, I didn't even remember that, but for some reason it was there. And then I also started taking a little more melatonin. So my dreams became really, really vivid, and my brain just, it went through a detox. And I feel so much lighter, and I felt light before, but it's like those things were hiding somewhere. And my body, take care of ourselves, is going deeper and getting rid of that stuff.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, for the person that's listening that's now like, oh my goodness, they're like pumped, they're energized, they're excited, they want to go throw out all their clothes, big or small. What would your number one piece of advice be on starting that process to get going?
Speak truth over your life. And accept grace. Have grace with yourself. Those two things together. So first you have to, like, you can't let go of anything unless you, like, you have to forgive yourself and you have to accept it and have peace with it. You have to make peace with it. And in order for me to make peace with my past and the stupid things that I've done, I have to understand God's love and grace. And whatever form of grace or peace that you can acquire for yourself, seek it. Seek it. And don't ignore that. And then paired alongside with that is speak truth in life over your life. So we have to take out the bad things and replace them with good things. And it seems so obvious, but how do we really do that? You know, most of us were just like, oh, well, I'm over it. You know, make a decision, maybe make a declaration, and then you go on pretty much living the same way. I just want to encourage people to equip themselves with affirmations and, you know, think about your daily routine, restructure it, dedicate a little bit more time to do this or that, that will actually benefit you, because nothing happens without making change to do it. So my little booklet that I send to a lot of my clients is just full of scriptures and affirmations that changed my life. Because for a long time I felt like such a horrible person that I couldn't heal. And I was, you know, I was struggling with eating disorders and I was struggling with my, you know, just my body failing itself and being pretty much worthless. I couldn't function. I was out of work. You know, it's like, what can I offer the world? And I had a lot of guilt for that. And it was like, God, I know that you still love me, but I feel like I'm not going to get into heaven. I feel like a bad person. And I continued to cry out to him. And I had to get rid of all those lies. I mean, just so many lies and guilt and shame, and replace it with goodness. Awesome. And when you start speaking up for yourself, it turns into, it manifests itself. So hearing, it creates a actual biological response when we hear our own voices declare things.
Say that again. I want you to say that again. If you listen or hear your own internal voices, create a biological response. Is that what you said?
100%. We create commands and eventually our bodies respond to the command out loud.
So I'm going to circle back on what you said and that known fact to go back to what you just said before, which was stress really does impact you. So because somebody probably got lost in all of that. Like, wait, what? Huh? Wait. So this, all of that is to say stress does impact you. So make sure that you're doing things to actually relieve stress. And don't say going to the gym, because that is absolutely the opposite of relieving stress. Going to the gym, as great as that feels to do that, for those that like working out, it's putting an actual physical stress on your body. So that's not really relieving stress. So you'll still have a biological response from that. So I'll add the links into the show notes, two suggestions, and there's others. But my first one would be the Calm app. I've gone back and forth on this before. I think I've referenced the Waking Up app in some other episodes. I meditate constantly. I use both. I find myself using Calm every day. The benefits to the Calm app, for those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, it's Calm, Charlie, Alpha, Lima, Michael. You can find it on Google Play Store. You can find it on Apple and everywhere else. But the Calm app is awesome because for everything you can think of, there's a meditation. There's a lot of different voices, whether that be man, woman, celebrity. There's sleep stories. There are quick 90-second check-ins. There are a lot of different things that fit in your mood, your anxiety, depression, performance, focus, efficiency, like whatever the things are. They have guided meditations for all that stuff, which is great. The Calm app is free for a certain period of time. I don't know how long, but pretty affordable. The Waking Up app costs a little bit more. The benefit, if you've never, ever, ever meditated, I love the Waking Up app because it teaches you that you can actually meditate anywhere. In a construction zone, in traffic, on the plane, while you're driving, like absolutely anywhere. And a lot of people don't get that. So that app is great. And I don't know the cost. I know it's more expensive than Calm, but it will allow you to do 5 sessions, I believe, with Sam Harris, Waking Up from Sam Harris, 5 sessions, and then a 6th session you have to pay for. So even if you just start there with the first 5 sessions to get a better idea of what meditation is, I think Sam Harris does a really good job of walking through and explaining that. So maybe download both. And then the third thing, which was really the second to begin with, was Church Home. I realize you don't have to be a Christian to listen to this podcast. I appreciate that. But I am a believer. So I'm telling you, guided prayer has been amazing. I said that to a friend of mine the other day and he was like, guided prayer? You mean like Catholicism, like it's Catholic? I was like, no, completely different. Church Home, it's run by an Austin pastor, Judah Smith, who pastors, I believe it's City Church in Seattle. I think they also have a campus in LA. If I'm wrong on that, I apologize, Judah, my bad. But Church Home is the app. I will put a link for that as well as the meditations in there. But they do guided prayer 6 days a week. And then Sunday you can like lean in on their church service or what have you. But those things now is something that I press my clients on more and more and more, because their stress levels have changed drastically. And meditation has been one of those things that people look at like, oh yeah, you know, I drank all my water today, I hit my macros. And I'm like, did you meditate? No. So you know the biological response you're gonna have from all that crazy stress you carried today, it's there. So I say all of that to say, you're spot on. I hope those recommendations help. And I hope everyone listening to this episode knows two things. There's never too many questions to ask. And where you are right now can absolutely be different tomorrow if you choose to have that difference and make that difference today. Fair enough?
100%.
Rebecca, it's always a pleasure. I've only done, I don't know, a handful of part ones and part two episodes. So thank you for coming on for part two. I know the listeners will enjoy both equally. And if there's anything, of course, as usual, that we can do, please never hesitate to reach out and let us do that.
Thanks so much. It's such a pleasure.
Always.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.